It's 11 o'clock on 94 WIP, along with Mike Sielski. I'm Glenn Mack. Now time to talk to one of my favorite people, one of our absolute treasure in this town as a player and a broadcaster and a citizen of the world. Mike Quick joins us now. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Glenn. How are you?
Doing great. We want to talk about this team, but we just played back Bounty Bowl as our sports history moment because it occurred this weekend in 1989. By the way, after that, the Eagles did not get to play in Thanksgiving again until 2008.
Funny how that worked.
Yeah. And I mentioned to you earlier this week that we were going to, you know, could you come on? And by the way, we're gonna cover that game. You were on that team. I think you were hurt at the time, but you were on that team. And you said, oh, that was a good one. So what is your recollection about what actually went down at Bounty Bowl?
It was just regular football with some additional stakes added in. That's all. It was regular football. So, but what a lot of people don't realize is that we had, after games when we would have the big team meeting, Buddy would always play highlight reels. Mike Doherty, our film guy, would pull out big plays, and guys would get envelopes with money in it for big plays. And this happened after every game. Buddy would go through the tape and he would pick out big hits, et cetera, and big plays and call you out. And you would get recognized for those plays and you would get an envelope with some denomination in it. And that was what we did. But this particular game, there was a little additional thing before the game. And I'm not saying that it was a bounty or anything, but there were certain guys that we wanted to make sure that got paid a special attention to during that game. and so there was incentive for that. And that's what happened.
God, you are such
that's
a diplomat.
Story, and I'm sticking to it.
See, you are a great diplomat.
Mike has been thoroughly inculcated into the modern NFL with all these boring quotes, Mike. Come on.
All right, I'll just ask you one.
Listen, Buddy was great with stuff like that, and there were certain guys that if Buddy said, hey, I need you to do this in this game, then those guys, they did whatever Buddy wanted them to do, and, you know, we had fun with it. It was still football. They didn't go far outside the lines.
Yeah.
So
well played.
Yeah. well stated, Mike. Very good. You could be like somebody's press secretary, I think. So AJ Brown not feeling well this week. Let's assume for the sake of argument he's not quite at 100%. What effect do you think, if any, do you think that has on the Eagles offense, and how would you adjust if AJ isn't quite where he needs to be?
I think he's going to be fine, but we don't know that. If AJ's not 100%, if you don't have AJ, I've really been impressed with Zach Pascal and what he's added to this offense. And I think he just moves up and becomes a bigger part of the offense and gets a few more targets than he normally gets. Quez also will factor into that. And, of course, you've got Devontae Smith on the other side. This team has a luxury of two wide receivers that could be a number one wide receiver on almost any team. And so then you look at Devontae giving him more targets, Quez, and of course, like I said, Zach Pascal. I think that's how you spread it around.
I want to actually deep dive into those four guys and get the Mike Quick kind of 30-second scouting report on the skill set of those four receivers who you just mentioned. Because a lot of people say, you know, this is the best wide receiving core the Eagles have ever had or had since the days of Quick and Carmichael, which I know is just a brief overlap. So I'm going to give you the name. You just tell me what this guy's skill set is. A.J. Brown.
Big body, great run after the catch, great hands, better than I thought he had. Good route runner, and just a solid, solid player. Can do it all for you.
Devontae Smith.
A blazer. Doesn't look like he's so smooth. It doesn't even look like he's working hard half the time. But he's very sleek. Excellent route runner. Strong, great hands. Can do it all. We haven't even seen him yet.
Quez Watkins.
Blazer, burner, takes the top off of the defense, scary route runner. I think he can put fear into the mind of any defensive back that lines up on him.
All right. And then finally, a guy who you mentioned, and I'd personally like to see him get a little more involved in the offense, Zach Pascal.
Same. I'd like to see him do more because I know that he can do more. Not just a wide receiver, football player. You can ask him to do anything. In a nasty or tight split, he'll crack linebackers. He'll seal the outside so that your running back can get around the perimeter. Runs good routes, catches the ball. If you need him on special teams, he can do that. Just an overall good football player.
Mike, how did you view the Indianapolis game last weekend, and what's kind of the after effect of it? Was it, hey, you're happy when you win on the road, no matter how you win? Do you say, oh, that's a couple of games in a row now where they've kind of staggered a little bit? Kind of your takeaway from that game, and at the same time looking forward to Green Bay tomorrow night.
My takeaway is that they made too many mistakes, especially early in the game, with penalties and the likes. The offense has to play a lot better. I think teams are getting a little better at defending what they do offensively. So the offense has to get better. They have to take another step. All of these offenses, once you start to see what they are, there's a natural progression to what's the counter or what's the next peel of the onion of that offense. When you start to take away one thing, how do you then show that same look and do something different? That's where this offense is now, where Shane Steichen and Nick, they have to come up with, you know, the next phase of this offense and not allowing teams to take away what they're doing. The offense it's a really good offense. It really puts a lot of pressure on the defensive coordinator. But now, as I said, teams are starting to see what they do. This defense has been stellar to me. You know, when your defense limits teams on an average to 18 points a game, you can win with that, and that's how they were able to win against the Colts, that the defense was so good. But when the offense needed it in the fourth quarter, they were down double digits, and they were able to come back from that. So you have to be able to appreciate that and love the fact that this team has won in a variety of ways.
How is it, and going back to the defense, that Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh are able to basically pack their bags, fly on a plane, get here, and play as well as they did last week? How does that happen?
Well, they've done it before. They've done it for a long time at the highest level, both these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they both are in good shape. Glenn, they have no wear on their legs this year.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And maybe that position is different.
It is different because there's not so many checks and things that you have to do. You're going to line up. You have to know what's going on within the call of the defense. And I think that they were able to keep that simple enough. And the fact that you have a guy like TJ Edwards, who's so bright, so smart, and he's running that defense. He's making sure that everybody knows what they're doing. They're lined up correctly. And these guys understand defenses. They've been in it for a long time. They've done it for a long time. I think the biggest adjustment for these guys, and talking to Tracy Rocker, the defensive line coach, is what he mentioned to me, and this is the part that I never thought about. He said the only thing they have to get used to is having 600 pounds of man pushing against them again. The other part, not that difficult, but the fact that they haven't played in any preseason, any of these games, and it's been months since they've had 600 pounds of men against them. That's what they have to get used to and adjust to.
Yeah.
Mike, how much worse is Aaron Rodgers this season than he's been? Is this the same guy who, you know, was the best quarterback in the NFL, multiple-time MVP? Is this just a matter of he doesn't have the weapons around him that he used to have, doesn't have Devontae Adams, or is he a tick below what he used to be?
I think the time and all the mileage is certainly catching up to him, but I still think that he is scary good. He hasn't played well this year. I read a couple of days ago that his thumb is, he has a broken thumb or a break somewhere, and evidently it's not keeping him from playing. He's, you know, you look at the weapons, it's not the weapons that he's used to. You know, he's relying on guys that he's not really that familiar with. They bought back Randall Cobb. He's 100 years old, but he's not completely healthy. The rookie, Christian Watson, has dropped a lot of balls, although he's coming on in the last few games, getting a lot more targets, making a lot more plays. It's just not the team that he's used to having around him. And I think having a young offensive coordinator, first-time play caller, first-time coordinator, I think all of these things are factors in the reason why they're not playing as, you know, to the standard that he's used to playing.
Last one for me, Mike. Ruben Frank wrote a really good piece earlier this week on NBC Sports Philadelphia, kind of looking at the coach-quarterback relationship and what Nick and Jalen Hurts kind of mean for each other. You've seen a lot of them in this town, from Vermeil and Jaws when you started out, and to Buddy and Randall, maybe not so helpful, to Reed and McNabb. Where do Nick and Hurts, or not where, what do Nick and Hurts mean for each other? How do they complement each other?
I just think that they both love football. I think Nick is a football geek, just loves the game, all the details of the game. And I think Jalen, growing up in a football family, is the same way. He's a great athlete, but aside from that, he loves football, loves the game, the details. You know, going to work every day and the process of it, I think both these guys really are into the process. They love the process of the preparation, getting ready for the games and all the things that go into that. I think you have to have that to be as successful as they are right now. And going forward, I think the two of them together can do a lot of great things.
Mike, last one from me, and I'll follow up on what Glenn just asked you. It seems to me that if this were 1989 again and Jalen Hurts were the Eagles quarterback, there would be no reservations from anyone, either affiliated with the team or fans or anybody, about committing to him as your franchise guy. And the hesitation now is, of course, because there's a salary cap and you have to worry about how much you're paying him and can you build a team around him. I'm curious, now that you've gotten the chance to watch him over the last couple of years, is there anybody, either during your playing days or in all the years that you've been following and covering the league since then, who Jalen reminds you of? You see him either from a leadership standpoint, playing style standpoint, and say, gosh, he takes me back to this guy or that guy.
I would probably have to wrap two or three guys into it. It's not just one guy. I think he has the dedication, leadership, and like my first quarterback, Ron Jaworski. You know, Jaws was like having a coach on the field. He was dedicated to the game. He was there on the day off with the coaches when all the other players were out with their family and doing whatever they do on our day off. Jaws would go there at the complex with the coaches and working with the coaches to put the game plan together. Jalen's that kind of guy in his dedication to his team and making sure that he's on top of everything. Skill-wise, I would probably have to go like between a McNabb and Cunningham, a mixture of those guys skill-wise. But there's no one comparison that I think that would encapsulate everything that Jalen is.
Well, that's pretty complimentary description and earned. Mike, I just want to tell you my family and I enjoyed a Merrill and Mike beer with our Thanksgiving.